Okay, excellent. Well, everybody, hello. Welcome to the November Awakening Together member meeting. It's 8 p.m. Eastern on Sunday, November 3rd. I am filling in for Regina, who is currently on pilgrimage in India, helping out in what they call now a certain organizations call it a volunteer vacation, but it's not really so much a vacation. The organization sends groups to India for various sort of humanitarian missions, and one of them is to an orphanage that is in Chennai, and that is where a small group of people led by Regina are currently. They probably just have already gotten settled into their location and spending time there helping out in whatever way needed. So I send her love and light and everyone with her. So today's meeting has an agenda for the meeting. And the first thing that we're going to announce as an organization is the new speakers policy that we have, as both the member board and the board of directors has approved. And I'm going to read that here. And this recording will also be posted up as a post on the Awakening Together site with the audio link to a Dropbox, so it would be available for anyone to listen to who might have missed coming to the meeting or listening to it. So the speaker's policy is a sister policy to the online gathering policy, which was discussed in the meeting last month. So some of the highlights are, one, that the purpose of teaching or sharing in the online gathering room is for like one of five reasons. And one of those is to share the experience of one's own spiritual path in order to become more clear or more practiced in that path. So, say you're a student of NTI and you share about your experiences there, and you use your time as a speaker on a regular weekly schedule to do that. Or two, you could share clarity that's been realized in order to deepen that clarity within oneself or share that clarity with others for whom it may be helpful. So there's some really great new insights and clarity that you have gained that you do wish to cement further in your consciousness, and you're very excited about sharing those realizations. Another reason is to share your current and ongoing study of a spiritual teaching. And a lot of people, really speakers, do this by reading a book or sharing from their own studies that they are currently working with, reading from PDFs or books or lectures or what have you. That's also a number of teachers do that as well. Another reason is to, if you're going to demonstrate, like to yourself, that you can trust your own inner wisdom and move through the fear of sharing in a public forum. This is also a really great purpose for teaching and speaking on Gather, to build trust, to overcome that fear of speaking in front of other people. And that's a very valid reason to become a speaker. And another, this is the fifth point, you can also work through a present situation in order to gain clarity regarding a belief, an idea, or a grievance. So there could be something in your life that you do have difficulty with, that you're having a problem with, that you're wanting to work through. These are all great things to use your time as a speaker for, if you choose to be a speaker in the gathering room. And you can talk to Lynn. There's a lot of open slots. So this sort of rules out, if you just want to bitch or you want to gossip or you want to do anything like that, that's not really what the whole room and organization is set up for. The point to being a speaker, to speak on Gather, would be for really one of these broad areas that I just outlined. And that really does cover a lot. Anyone with a sincere intention to learn would find a really great opportunity to do so here on Gather as a speaker. Another aspect of the speaker's policy does include etiquette for a speaker. And the first point is the speaker shall not have a purpose of proselytizing or seeking agreement for a political opinion or cause. So we're not a we're not a political room. Two, the speaker may not use the microphone for the purpose of blaming, complaining, or ranting. Three, a speaker may teach from and provide access information about a book, worship, website, etc. The speaker may not utilize the gathering room for the express purpose of selling a product or service. So this isn't a marketing outreach for those that desire to further their sales of something. Another point is, if a speaker is responding to something that has been typed on the comment board, it is best practice to read the comment or question in the room before responding. And the reason for that is to let the people on the radio hear. Like when I'm in there teaching, I'll read what someone wrote, say, on the board as I'm looking at it, and so that way people listening in on the radio can hear in. And this morning alone, I think there was 15 additional people listening in on the radio. And the next point for speaker etiquette is that you'll try to stay on topic and not try to over-control and regulate the room participants through comments about room etiquette. Like some teachers could get on and try to tell the listeners what they need to do, and this is my room and you're going to act this way and all that. You can't really do that as a speaker. You need to let just people write and be however they are, and there's an admin in the room at all times. If it's not Lynn, it's one of the other trained admins who will be working with the room participants if anyone is really, you know, out of line with the consciousness of Awakening Together. We're building the consciousness of a sanctuary in here. So that is what the admin is for, is to use their discernment in helping to maintain that consciousness. The next point is speakers will commit to a specific time slot. If the speaker is unable to fulfill his or her time slot, they must notify the admin on duty for that time frame as soon as possible. If a speaker is absent without notifying the admin two consecutive times, the online gathering room director will correspond with the speaker regarding their intention to continue in the time designated slot. Okay, point 7. When a speaker agrees to a time slot, he or she will provide their email address and phone number to the online gathering room director. So for over the next few weeks, everyone that's a scheduled speaker in the room will get a copy of this email, if they haven't already. And then this is actually, there's a link that if Lynn could put that up. And I can see Lynn put up something there. So there's a link that, it's a Dropbox link that's the speaker's policy. If you got this document, Lynn, you can get that link and post it. If not, I can take a minute here and find the file and post it myself. Let's see here. It's a document I'm reading off of. I don't have it opened up in electronic form. I have it printed out. Version here. So it's in an email that Regina sent me. Here it is. I found the file. Let me open it up. Now, this document, like I said, is a Word doc, and it's available on Dropbox, and that's a public Dropbox, and my Microsoft Word is taking a very long time to open here. Okay, there it goes, finally. Okay, scrolling down. Okay, found it. And here we go. Pasting. Right mouse click, paste. Okay, there we go. You posted it. Aha. Well, actually, that is not the what I'm talking about. That is the gathering room etiquette policy. This is the... Oh, no, okay. Yeah, Lynn did post it. Gotcha. Okay, never mind. Silly me. I will stop posting things. Lynn's got it. Okay, two. The member board did vote to apply for legal church status by January 31st. So when we apply, we're going to have to answer certain questions. And here's some questions that I'm going to go through several of these questions, and some of you may find these interesting or have questions, and I can stop periodically and answer those questions. Does anyone have any questions on the speaker's policy so far? Does anyone have a question, comments so far? Lynn is posting the link again. Okay. A. So here is the Tarzan. I've been called Tarzan by Barb. Okay. Well, I'm not going to do the whole sound thing. That would be a bit weird. A. Do you have a written creed, statement of faith, or summary of beliefs? So to answer that question, it's basically we will provide our purpose and core values. Okay. B. Do you have a form of worship? So to answer this, we will need to write down a document indicating that the form of worship may vary member to member, which isn't usually the case in a church. So that's very different than what they're used to approving as a church. But some of the most common forms of worship include contemplation, teaching, which is to increase trust, etc. If you'd like to provide feedback on what should be included as a form of worship, send your feedback to regina.awakeningtogether@gmail.com. And now I know Lynn is going through the document with me. Yeah, no, Deb, we don't sacrifice animals or anything here in this organization. No, no, no ritual sacrifice of animals. C. Do you have a formal code of doctrine and discipline? Our formal code of doctrine is the member covenant and our online gathering room etiquette. Everyone is familiar with the process followed when someone doesn't adhere with our online gathering room etiquette. You can find the link at, and then the link is there. And I'm sure our dearest Lynn will post that. Okay, the Board of Directors recently approved a new member policy, which outlines the process for becoming a member, member benefits, and the process that is followed if someone doesn't keep the member covenant. A. Any member who does not abide by the member covenant will be asked to meet with an AT board member trustee to review the covenant agreed to and discuss any issues. If the member is no longer in agreement with the covenant, the member will be asked if he or she would like to resign their membership. If the member chooses to retain his or her membership but continues to be non-compliant with the member covenant, the member may lose some or all of the member privileges as determined by the member board. Any member privileges which have been revoked can be reinstated by the member board when the member demonstrates willingness to comply with the member covenant. B. We have decided never to remove someone from membership if it is in their desire to remain a member. C. You can read the entire member policy at this link, which includes the member covenant that all members have agreed to. And that's another Dropbox link that Lynn just put up on the board. No, you'll still be able to play with the icons, Deb. I don't really think that's really what we're talking about here. D. Do you have a distinct religious history? And these are the questions that the IRS asks us, by the way. This is all questions that the IRS asks us. 1. We do have a history which is summarized in our fact page, FAQ, under us about us. For the church application, we will write a more detailed version of the history. It will mention ACIM, ACIM Gather, and NTI as aspects of our historical bond as an assembly. And there's a link there for that as well. Deb. E. Do you have a literature of your own? And the answer to that is, we will offer NTI as a literature of our own because the assembly owns the copyright. However, we will also emphasize that any teaching that points to the same truth NTI points to is accepted here, and no one teaching or literature is emphasized over another. And that's really an important thing to point out, that it's the actual practice of the direct experience of truth that is most important, not the pointer to that direct experience of truth. So, members and friends are encouraged to study or practice the teaching they feel attracted to by their inner spiritual intuition. F. Describe the organization's religious hierarchy or ecclesiastical government. Point 1. We will describe our two-tiered board structure, which is the member board of trustees and the board of directors. You can read about this structure in our constitution on our website under About Us, and there's a link there. G. Do you have regularly scheduled religious services? If yes, describe the nature of the services and provide representative copies of relevant literature such as church bulletins. 1. We will share information about our weekly gathering, includes access to archived recordings and our gathering program guide, which is on our website under Interact. And there's a link there as well. H. What is the average attendance at your regularly scheduled religious services? We keep track of attendance each week, and it will be able to provide the answer. Right now, our average is 41 people in the room with 21 people listening on the radio. I. Do you have an established place of worship? That is our Pal Talk room, which will be called Awakening Together Sanctuary, beginning January 1st, 2014. J. Do you own the property where you have established your place of worship? The answer to that will be yes, and we will have a letter from One Mind Foundation turning the Pal Talk room over to Awakening Together, effective January 1, 2014. Do you have an established congregation or other regular membership group? How many members do you have? The answer is yes, and we will provide our member list. And that member list is updated every 2 weeks. And as soon as we've got the member site done, that will be up there as well. And you can browse through and see who all is a member. L. Do you have a process by which an individual becomes a member? Yes, that is agreeing to our member covenant, which we will provide our member policy as documentation. M. If you have members, do your members have voting rights, rights to participate in religious functions, or other rights? The answer is yes, and this is all documented in our new members. Our member privileges are A. Awakening Together members may exercise their right to vote in member board elections. B. In any instance in which a vacancy should arise on the AT member board, any member of AT may nominate either him or herself or another AT member to fill the seat. C. Members may serve on a board subcommittee by invitation of the member board or the member subcommittee chair. Members may also request an invitation to serve on a subcommittee. D. Members may attend board meeting Members may attend member board meetings by invitation of the member board. Members may also request an invitation to attend a member board meeting. E. Members may apply for the AT Ministerial Program, MPP. Members may also take classes from the MPP without any interest or intention of becoming a minister. So there may be a lot of folks that want to just take some of the classes, which are so far really awesome, by the way. Me and a group of about, there's nine of us going through the initial True Discernment course, which we just completed. I'd highly recommend that to anyone that's interested. But there'll be a lot of people that'll want to just take the courses that don't have an interest in necessarily going all the way through to be a fully licensed and ordained minister. So that was just the point there that was being made. F. Members may apply to be administrators in our online gathering room, such as I heard Susie's doing and a few other people here. G. Members may submit articles to be posted on the AT site. And I know Karen Ann has done that, and several of her articles have actually been posted on the AT site. Great articles, by the way. Members may submit comments and suggestions to the President Minister. So you can, if you have a suggestion or comment you want to make to Regina directly as part of the Awakening Together organization, you could do that through the member site, which isn't built yet, but you'll be able to. And J, members may apply for scholarships for AT pilgrimages, retreats, courses, and other events that have an associated cost. So if you are having financial difficulties, periodically we will have scholarships available for those that express a desire to or a need for that money to go to the event. N. May your members be associated with another denomination or church? And the answer is yes. We do allow our members to have membership with another church. That is also covered in our member policy. And so a lot of people are Catholic. Some people don't go to any church. Some people are Baptist. There's Jewish folks. I don't know if there's any Muslims, but there's certainly a wide array of different church-going folks that are a part of the organization that I know of. Item O, are all of your members part of the same family? No. Apparently some families have tried to declare themselves a church. So if I, say Susie there in Vancouver, her and Wade have a bunch of kids, and then Susie's brother and sister and Wade's brother and sister and their kids all get together and want to form the Church of Susie. And they file, official documentation to become the Church of Susie. They wouldn't be able to do that. We are actually more than just a single family trying to form a church. Because there's a lot of these scams that people do to try to form churches to get out of taxes and all kinds of other things. So a lot of these questions are presented to sort of weed out those folks. P. Do you conduct baptisms, weddings, funerals, etc.? Yes. Our Sacraments of Grace policy, which has been approved by the member board, still needs board of directors approval, indicates that an Awakening Together ordained minister can perform weddings, official funerals, provide spiritual counseling, and baptize anyone who wants to be baptized as a symbol of their commitment to let go of individual thinking in deference of spiritual intuition for the purpose of awakening to the one true self. So there was a lot of talk about this, and the Christian church doesn't own baptism. This is baptism that is sort of made a bit more generic, that if you did want to be baptized, an ordained minister could do that. And actually, myself and a bunch of other people actually were baptized by Regina in the River Jordan. I was baptized. Barb DeWater was baptized in the River Jordan in Israel as well. You were, weren't you, Barb? I think you were. Susie, I was just using you as an example. I know you don't want your own church. Q. Do you have a record? Excuse me. Do you have a school for the religious instruction of the young? And our answer is no. We don't have a kid's school. Okay, the next point, R. Do you have a minister or religious leader? If yes, describe this person's role and explain whether the minister or religious leader was ordained, commissioned, or licensed after a prescribed course of study. So this is the way we answered that. 1. We will need to write a paper that explains the role of our president minister, which is Regina, vice president minister, which is Dove, and chairman minister, who you all had the pleasure of hearing this morning, Phil Frisk. He's actually the chairman of the whole organization. Point 2. We will be able to submit our leadership and governance policy, which still needs to be written, but it will include job descriptions for our president and vice president ministers. 3. Of course, Regina is our founder, and we can cite her ordination with Community Miracles Center as a pre-existing ordination. And that is Reverend Tony Ponicello's organization out of San Francisco. Her and Nikki Dobson, who's also a student who just became a licensed minister, went through that program together. Point 4. We also need to point to our core value that no one has spiritual intuition over the spiritual intuition of another, and quote our Constitution, which says that any member who feels called to become an Awakening Together minister can become one, and there is no limit to the number of ministers permitted in our assembly. You know, and it's funny because I was just talking with a friend of mine here, Jerry Krizka, and he was expressing to me that he actually was thinking about becoming an ordained Awakening Together minister. He was going to check it out. So I think he might be in the February class coming up. So that was pretty cool. And just a calling, he said he felt inside. So point 5. We will also mention that gatherings are led by a rotating group of currently ordained ministers rather than by one person, such as Regina, and then Phil. For initially it was Dove before he did his chemo. Now it's, since a number of additional folks are licensed, it's going to be Regina and Phil and Lynn and now myself too. So next point is S. Do you have schools for the preparation of your ordained ministers or religious leaders? And the answer is yes, and we will submit the overview of our MPP program for that satisfaction of that question. T, is your minister or religious leader also one of your officers, directors, or trustees? And that's, we will again address the roles of president minister, vice president minister, and chairman minister, which is Regina, Dove, and Phil. Next question, and we're almost done here. Do you ordain, commission, or license ministers or religious leaders? If yes, describe the requirements for ordination, commission, or licensure. 1. The answer is yes, and we will submit our newly approved minister ordination and licensing policy. Regina plans to go over this policy with you in detail at our December member meeting on December 1st, and that's about a month from today. 1. One reason she will share the policy with you then is that we will begin offering the introductory MPP course in December and January with the full curriculum beginning in February. Okay, I guess the introductory course, introductory MPP course. Hey, Lynn, is that introductory MPP course this is talking about, is that the True Discernment course? I thought in February there was going to be the True Discernment course. I'm not sure. Okay, so it looks like we are going to be offering a True Discernment course beginning when she gets back. I think we did talk about, we've talked about a lot of different possibilities on that. So we are going to be offering that in December and January. And it is a, there's two different groups. And they'll be facilitated by not necessarily just Regina. It could be Nikki or Lynn or myself helping to facilitate. But the content of the program and even the facilitator's guide is established. And it's a been validated, and it's a wonderful program. So that is what we will be offering. And then 2, which is anyone who is interested in becoming a minister will want to attend this meeting or listen to the audio from that meeting. So if you yourself are interested, be sure to attend our next member meeting on December 1st. 3, to make sure you don't miss announcements about our minister program, make sure you are subscribed to daily updates. And there's a link there that Lynn could put up on the board for everybody. B, via the quick menu on awakeningtogether.org or subscribe under Join Us menu on the menu bar. And every time that one of us makes a post inside the Awakening Together official WordPress site, okay, it will then be automatically sent to the, every morning, the official Facebook community site that Lynn originally set up. 5, are you part of a group of churches with similar beliefs and structures? And the answer simply is no. W, do you issue church charters? 1, no. We are one worldwide assembly that takes advantage of technology to be able to be together online as one assembly. 2, we do intend to add additional worship services gatherings to our schedule when we have more ordained ministers in order to more effectively serve multiple time zones. X, do you have other information you believe should be considered regarding your status as a church? 1, we will look at this after we have gathered information for all the other questions to see if there is something else we feel should be considered. Y, if members have any questions or comments about our application for church status, send them to regina.awakeningtogether@gmail.com. 2, Regina is in India now, but she will look at emails when she returns and consider any comments made by the members regarding our application for church status. So that is the announcements for the Awakening Together, a lot of which has to do with our church status and the upcoming new offerings of our MPP program. And Lynn, I think the MPP program itself is... let me look here. There is a cost associated with it. Let me look that up. And there's 38 audios that are with this course. Let's see here. Yeah. Deb's throwing spitballs. Do you have any questions, Deb? Any questions? This was just a meeting of announcements. You know what, Lynn? I don't see a cost for the MPP initial course. It just starts on the... when we have our book listing, it starts in right at the True Meditation course. It doesn't say what the actual... okay, it's $25. So that's a $25 fee for anyone interested in the initial True Discernment course. So does anyone have any questions? Does anyone have any questions? Yes, there's a question on the board by Lynn. It's asked, would the courses be paid for as they were taken? Okay, Karen, take care. Yes, so, yeah, that covers materials. So, basically, the courses, the fee for the course is due at the beginning of each course. And so you actually, because people may not want to take all the courses. People might just be interested in some courses. People may not be necessarily interested or feel called to study all of the different topics that and the courses that are offered. And I can go through a quick list of the courses that are part of the MPP program. So after the first course, which is True Discernment, there's a course called True Meditation, which is a 3-week course, the Bhagavad Gita, which is a 3-week course, the Tao Te Ching, a 4-week course, Introduction to Buddhist Teachings, a 6-week course, Introduction to Jesus of the New Testament, which is a 2-week course, Introduction to NTI, which studies the keys to NTI, 4-week course. Introduction to Sufi thought, which is a 5-week course. Introduction to Kabbalah, 5-week course. The teachings of Ramana Maharshi, 4-week course. The teachings of Nisargadatta Maharaj, 8-week course. Introduction to the Course of Miracles by John, studying a book that's the John Mundy book, 6-week course. ACIM Manual for Teachers, which is really working with the course, any version, that's a 4-week course. The teachings of Inner Ramana, a 3-week course. And then the final course is Being an Awakening Together Minister. And there's also a new course that was introduced actually in between. Where did we place that? It was called Understanding Purification, and it uses Michael Singer's book, The Untethered Soul, as the basis of it. And there's also a lot of journaling practice and application throughout these lessons as well. So there was a recent update in that. I'm trying to look at the new, trying to find that here in the new version. And I think it's after, maybe Lynn, you could help me out. I'm quickly trying to find that. I think it's after Introduction to, here it is. It's after Introduction to Buddhist Teachings. It's called Understanding Purification, and it's a 4-week course with The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer. So that is, hey Ron, just see that you joined. Yes, the posted a question on the board by Willow is there a place where courses and prices are posted as well as the schedule? Yes, there will be on the member site. There will be a full listing of books and courses, and that is going to be up by January 1st as well. So you actually may be, some of you may already be in the studies before the actual member website gets up and fully running, just to let you guys know. So does anyone have any questions on the studies or any of the classes I mentioned? And again, they will be facilitated by people that have already been an Awakening Together minister, such as most of them will be given by either like Lynn, facilitated by Regina, Lynn, or myself, or Nikki Dobson. And I think we're going to probably operate as a pair, so there'll be at least two licensed ministers acting as facilitators for the courses. And it's not that there's kind of a set curriculum and a sort of a facilitator's guide. So Regina really will be with you, teaching you all the way through her audios that she'll record with these classes. I'm not sure if all of these courses are going to necessarily have audios associated with them, but I know the first True Discernment course has 38 audios total, and these are teachings from Regina that you really can't get any other way other than going through the True Discernment course. We did play them a few times each throughout the last 2 months, 2.5 months. So if you happen to catch them when they were being played, when either Lynn or myself or one of the other students in the class, mostly it was Lynn that played them in the room. I played a few, a couple different times. Yeah, Lynn, the True Discernment course is awesome. It really is. And also, Lynn is developing a True Discernment for Admins, what I think is going to be a 2-week course, but Lynn will have to let you know the actual length of the course. I'm assisting her somewhat with that, but she's got the master plan and going to be giving that course to the admins, and I think it's going to be wonderful. Regina has recorded 6 audios for that course, and she has some wonderful messages for developing true discernment and using being an admin as a true spiritual practice, which I know that Lynn has done an amazing job teaching and grooming and working with the admins on an individual basis. This course will really get everybody on the same page. And really the power of the organization and the power of the growth of this room, Ron is an admin, Cliff, yes, Ron is an admin. You see the little at symbol by your name we recently changed the code so that only the people that are actually logged into the admin calendar, which Lynn can post on the board the link to the admin calendar on the AT website. The folks you see there, and I think there's about 10 or 12 of them, Lynn, obviously, for virtually all the time, myself on a certain shift on Thursday nights, Ron has a shift, Lynn, of course, here as Lynn B. Still, as Lynn Castaldo, is an admin. And so we're all going to be going through this course with Lynn, with audios from Regina, to really really be one team. And I really enjoyed the one meeting I was in with Lynn and Ron and some other people, and it just felt like a good bonding connection with everybody, and like we were really coming together. Hey, Christian, glad you could join us. So that's really the deal with the whole ministerial program. So we'll see what happens. See what happens. Thank you, Deb, for pointing that out. And you know, anyone interested in wanting to be an admin will contact and can contact Lynn, who is right here in the room as Sweet Dreams, as we all know, and her computer that broadcasts the radio is Awakening Together Radio. So Lynn will always appear as two logins in the room. I sometimes have a second login called Phoenix 1966, which is a login I use from my laptop. Sometimes I go into a different room or sit on my couch in my office and have a laptop right in front of me. So again, the courses that will be taught in the MPP program, of course, are always going to be given. Regina will have a big influence as she is recording and has recorded many of the audios that the students will listen to. They will be facilitated by any of our licensed Awakening Together ministers, such as Nikki Dobson or myself or Lynn, or maybe Tom Conway or Jacqueline, and also David Hemphill is also now a licensed AT minister. And we're probably going to team up and work with the groups of people that do sign up for these classes as a team. Several of us have also committed to being teachers for additional other ministers as well. So that's a year and a half commitment on my part, not only not a year and a half, maybe a year and 2 months, commitment to not only go through the program myself as a student, but then I'll also be teaching, helping to co-facilitate courses with perhaps Nikki or maybe Lynn and I'll team up. And so it's going to be really dynamic and a lot of fun. You know, basically the purpose of that is, you know, if maybe one facilitator can't make it that day, the other one can fill in. It's just like a good continuity approach that just you can really have a neat connection and a lot of great learning from all that. So, you know, really all these teachings are very compatible with what the Course in Miracles teaches. It's really the same truth expressed in so many different ways. And if I could sum it up, that's really what I'd have to say, is that it cuts through like what we think of as the fundamentalism that we all can get into at different times, thinking that the teaching itself, you know, that which points us to truth is the God. You know, we're right. You know, going to pound our fist on the table, going to be judging others, etc. When you recognize the same truth in multiple teachings, for me, it opens my heart and it makes it really hard for me to judge anything. And Deb is writing, I'm glad you wrote that, Deb. It is so easy to get fundamentalist. It's extremely easy to get fundamentalist. And thank you, Lynn, to the group of us that have been now licensed as ministers. And I think that Jacqueline and Tom will also be becoming licensed as well when they submit their exams in. And there were a few others, too, that were part of the course, kind of observing for a while. It was Dove. Also, Raina Avalon was observing and auditing the course. She did not feel the calling to be necessarily a licensed minister, but she very much participated in the course, and she has a presence here as well as a weekly teacher regularly on the calendar. So it's neat to see that the direct, as Susan DeKaiser points out, it's the direct experience of truth. Now, it is possible to audit. Email Regina if you express an interest in auditing a course. I'm not exactly sure what the formal policy is on that, but feel free to email Regina, and she will respond to you when she gets back from her pilgrimage in India. But in terms of the MPP course so far, what I can really see is that it helps you to sort of get out of the concept-minded approach and really into your heart and really just into the moment and into the direct experience of truth rather than the conceptual illusion of truth. You know, a thought came to me this morning during my sharing, which it was just kind of entered into my mind. You know how that happens when spirit just speaks to you and has thoughts that it just puts into your mind, which is really not a spirit that's outside of me. It's me. It's coming from me. I am that one spirit that is connected to all and is all. And the thought was, the truth, quote unquote, this is in air quotes. Hey, Robbie, what's up, buddy? The truth that the ego puts forth, okay, that's in air quotes, that truth is always ignorance, okay? The truth that the ego puts forth is always ignorance. And the truth, no air quotes, capital T, that the Holy Spirit, that the voice for love, that your heart puts forth, is always wisdom. Because the quote-unquote truth that the ego tries to sell you is always ignorance. It's always based in the separate model. It's based in thinking I'm different. And so, a lot of what this MPP course does is helps you to develop discernment and develop a very wonderful practice of this discernment so that you can get really good at hearing that voice for truth and seeing some of the really slithery little tricks sometimes the ego can play on you to get you distracted from the inner experience of wisdom. And the course has helped me to deepen my not only my study of the Course in Miracles, as it just it's really going beyond concepts and studies, and it's the actual inner experience of drawing forth that wisdom, however you refer to that. And those are the words I'm guided to use, but it's really beyond a study. It's beyond any ink written on any page of any book. The direct experience of inner truth is not about concepts. It's about actually feeling it in your heart, facing and going through your fears, rather than trying to avoid them in some blissed out meditative state or rationalize them away by repressing them through some justified intellectual philosophy. It's right in the middle of those two extremes. It's facing it and recognizing it and letting it be without judging it. And in that way, I do give up the meaning I've given to all that I see. In that way, I do give up. And Deb wrote on the board, as Regina says, whatever makes your heart sing. And that's so true. You got to do what makes your heart sing. Susie talks about that. I mean, passion oozes from the very pores of Susie's being. Do what you're passionate at doing. You got to follow that passion, and the true passion behind whatever the preferences or career path or particular spiritual study you feel passionate about, the source of passion, the source behind your career choice or your job function or your personality type, you know, or what you're interested in by the way of studies, behind all of that is the real you, the still silent you that's behind all of that. You know, so in this meeting, we've gone over a ton of what may have seemed boring at times, policies and procedures, but it was really meant to create a structure, and a lot of this is just for the IRS. And we're all just following spirit here. We don't know what any of this is for. We really don't. I think creating a church was the last thing in Regina's mind, and it was certainly not something I ever dreamed I would be a part of, and yet here I am. Lynn's part of it. I mean, we're all part of it. And I think that the reason for it is as far as I can see now, and what's being given to me now, is that this is a place, Awakening Together, is a place where you can really come to experience the true, no BS, inner self. You know, it's a place where you will find spirit, you will find others teaching with respect and teaching from a place of compassion and acceptance and love, a place that's safe to come, that you can feel like you're loved and you can love back. And in that space, in that environment, we all can really let go of the self, let go of the false self. In that space, we can all literally awaken together. We can all be holding hands in one giant circle and be a light and feel it and be it and do exactly what Spirit guides us to do. Because Spirit knows best as to what we are to do, what we are to think, how we are to be. And the more we just turn over and we listen to those ego voices less and less, and we just let them float through, we don't judge them. We don't have to act on our thoughts. We don't have to act on our emotions. We don't have to act on desires if we don't feel guided to do it. We really don't. We really don't. So I hope you all really feel that, because I feel it. I mean, there's definitely a consciousness, and it's not... I mean, we're all sitting here in front of computers separated by physical distance, and yet we're all connected in mind very powerfully. Very powerfully. And it's fun and joyous and silly, and at the same time incredibly reverent and respectful as well. You know, it's whatever it needs to be for us to awaken. Because through this structure, through our vehicle, we will be given and shown a way to truth that is for us, by a spirit that is within us that is not separate from us. That spirit that moves through us is the same spirit that moves through everyone you see here and everyone that you will ever meet. And so as I pray that my mind may be opened, as I build every day my own willingness, my own passion, my own, as Michael Lankford put it, strong desire for eternal bliss. Option A, Chapter 5. You know, my decisions are clear. The miracles are apparent. My discernment is clear. I know how to listen to the voice for the Holy Spirit. And I can be concrete solid in that. I can trust with unwavering certainty. Now, the Course does say that mastery only comes, that true confidence only comes at the point of absolute mastery. I may still have points of doubt or fear, but they are less and less and less all the time. The more I practice trust, the more I share on the mic, step up to the plate, particularly if you take an even step further and you become an admin, your learning will be amplified even tenfold more. You will face and overcome and heal so many fears in yourself, and you will feel so much joy and so much freedom that you will have no problem being a hostage to God at all. A hostage to love. I was talking about that earlier today. I think somebody wrote on the board, I'll be in the cell block with you. Because the ego wants us to think that its version of truth is freedom, and that trying to go along with that other love, heart-centered vision of of life is where the enslavement is, and oh, I got to be free to do what I want to do, and da da da. Nothing could be further from the truth. Remember that truth from the ego is not truth, it's ignorance. But it will be sold to us as truth, and always has been and always will be. We will learn discernment. That's what this first course is about, true discernment. And Regina has done an amazing job, guided by spirit, to put together a really neat course. And she is a nationally recognized course writer, too. So you're not. This isn't just anybody off the street putting a course together. I mean, this is just amazing stuff. It's really cool. I mean, she wove together. It is hard to describe because there's nothing else I've ever experienced that's been quite like it, to be honest with you. I invite anyone interested or feels called to be a part of that program. If nothing else, just take the first class, if nothing else. And I invite everyone who wants to become an admin. And thank you all for coming to the meeting. I'm going to wrap up off the mic and save this recording and post it as a post up onto the AT site, which will also then tomorrow morning go out as a post on the Facebook site. So everyone who didn't attend will be able to listen to the member meeting and all of our discussion afterwards. So you're welcome, Barb and everybody. And Lynn, thank you for being an admin here and helping with the links. And Lynn and L-I-N and L-Y-N both. So I am going to get off the mic here and send my love to everyone. Bye-bye.